Hey, Jason, let's do a podcast.
Hey, Math, starting a little early there. Jesus. Okay, let's do it.
I got a joke for you.
All right, let's hear it, man.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Eat.
Eat who?
Eat shit.
Oh, isn't that sweet, you little piece of garbage. I fucking go kill yourself. Welcome back to the Pinball Party Podcast. It's been a couple weeks. Two main things have kept the podcast from releasing last week. I guess three things. One being I didn't fucking record it.
Yeah.
But two was in Disney World, mainly to ride on Guardians of the Galaxy and Tron and to play a lot of Tron pinball. I'll get to that in a second. And two, or I guess three, finding a new job. And I did that. And I did that mainly so that I could have money to play pinball because pinball is expensive. And we're going to talk about that. Basically, because of the slow news, well, is it slow news? Some of the news to talk about is just not great. So we'll get to maybe a little bit of it, but I really want to talk about just pinball lessons that I've learned and a lot of us have learned after doing this for a few years. But yes, got a new job. It's awesome. As people who did reach out when I got laid off, part of the tech layoff 2023, 2024, everyone doesn't have a job. So anyone out there who is affected by layoffs, I feel you. It sucks. It's scary. It's full of self-doubt. And then multiply that by 100 as the days go on. And those that did reach out saying, oh, you know, usually I landed back on my feet in a better place, you know, and when you're in it, you're like, get fucked. Are you serious? It sucks. The world's over. I'm going to die. And, you know, all the anxieties kick in from suddenly not having a salary that can afford you pinball machines. So roughly you get where that's at. And surprisingly, they're all right. So I have a new job with a similar title, I'll say. There's some things I can't say just because of things that have been signed and all that. Just, you know how work is. But in the end, better pay, better company. Thank you for laying me off. So part of finding a new job was let's go to fucking Disney World, spend a bunch of money, and then also on the side, how about while I'm there with my cellular telephone device in the year 2024, buy a brand new car. You know, again, I wanted to get a manual hot hatch. So I did that while in Disney World. Just stupid. Got a GR Corolla. So for anyone out there who's a car enthusiast, you know what that is. And yeah, it's as awesome as if you've test driven one. I'm at 610 miles. The break-in period is 620. So right after this podcast, I'm going to go outside and drive the fucking bejesus out of that thing. Take corners at about 60, see if I can take them at 80. And yeah, have some all-wheel drive fun in Wisconsin when there's not even any snow. So that's what I'm going to do today. Thanks for spending some time listening to this. But this is about pinball. So pinball, before we get to the lessons, I guess maybe one lesson I learned about Tron. In Disney World, at the French Quarter Resort, if you stay it's a Disney resort hotel. The French Quarter, my wife and I go to a lot. We love it. It's a little more adult themed, less 10-year-olds pooping their pants everywhere and screaming. They have two pinball machines in their little arcade. The arcade is overall average for being a resort hotel. Above average because there's two pinball machines. And of course, because it's Disney, both pinball machines are Disney related. One was a Guardians of the Galaxy Pro, which is a good game. And then one was Tron Pro, which, last year we went to the same resort. And if you were a listener of the show, you heard me say, hey, Tron was there and it didn't fucking work. Does it work now? It works better. It's 90% working. Everything works on it except for the spinning disc for the disc multiballs. It was registering shots that I didn't hit it. Well, two things. The little garage door in front of the disc. Let me take a step back. For any of those who are not super well-versed in Tron, like myself, there is, of course, a center shot that you hit the shit out of it to start a multiball. It has a gate that lowers after you hit it a couple times, and then you get the ball into the spinning disc. I think there's optos. I don't know. I've only owned it once, and it was half fucking broken when I owned it. See episode, I don't know, like 14. Someone who screwed me on a Tron Pro back in the day. But I just can't seem to catch a break with Tron. So the one in Disney World, The garage door, the little lift gate for the spinning disc would not go down. There seems to be a fail safe, like, well, when just hitting that then will count for hitting the disc. So, all right. However, I think the spinning disc was triggering false shots. So, basically, it was registering a shot all the time, like every 5 seconds. The first couple games I played on resort, I didn't notice, but then I noticed. So, picture this. It's amazing. I'm on vacation in Disney World. I just signed a job offer, riding high. Weather was absolutely perfect for Disney World, like low 70s. You can walk for days. It's amazing. I go to the Tron. It's actually working this time. Oh my God. I mean, everything was really, and lately has been really just turning up roses for me. So inevitably soon, I'm most likely going to die or something bad will happen because that's just how it works. So stay tuned to hear that. But in there, I see the Tron. It starts working. Oh my God. I'm so happy, and I'm still very happy. So let me just spread that joy and make it very clear. Disclaimer: I'm in a fantastic mood, and I've been in a fantastic mood for a while. So again, stay tuned for that to crash. But then I start noticing that wow, these disc multiballs in Tron are becoming far too easy. I don't remember hitting that shot many times. So I play the game anyways because I'm on vacation. I'm like, oh well, while I'm waiting to go back to Epcot or whatever, let me play a couple games of Tron or Guardians of the Galaxy. And Guardians of the Galaxy, of course, the left orbit and the left ramp shot didn't register. So Jesus, whoever does the games on Disney World, whatever router is out there, fix your shit. Or maybe this is a heads up, if you know the person routing the games for the Disney World resorts, tell them please to fix the Tron and Guardians of the Galaxy at French Quarter. No one else is playing it, mind you. I will probably in another year or later this year when we go back with some friends from Japan. But yeah, I did play a lot of Tron. It is the most Tron I ever played because when I had a Tron Pro in my house, the person did not tell me about the playfield wear, and a bunch of money later, I just sold it right away. So I'm not sure if this is the best. Well, maybe it is. Playing on location during vacation in a great mood. I guess I should have thought it's as great as the price might demand on the used market. I don't think it is as great or should demand that price, aside from the rarity, the theme, the music. All the aesthetics of the game are incredible. On location is not the best time to play that game. It's more of a dark room game with the LE ramp lights and all that. So I didn't have that, but you know. What really is apparent to me after playing it a lot is the shots don't feel good in Tron. Yeah, it's like the left ramp, the main ramp. Sure, okay, it feels okay, but it's not as fast as I think the game could be. The upper left flipper, so the right ramp technically. I really don't like third flipper shots that are left-handed. I never have. The most not satisfying left flipper shot, if that makes sense, is probably Iron Maiden, that little guy. I don't know, that one just feels right. Turtles feels terrible. But I think Tron is a little, the gem shot is shit, but I think that is a little more forgiving in Tron, but I never want to hit that flipper. It just doesn't feel good. Unlike Jurassic Park, oh God, which is one of the best third flipper right-handed shots of all time. One of the, that and the warp ramp, right? But yeah, so that, and then hitting the scoop on the right, yeah, it doesn't feel good. I could say that for basically every shot, except for maybe, well, the disc is so easy to hit, but it was busted, and the Quora shot, they're okay. There was no shot that I couldn't wait to hit. In fact, there was a lot of shots that I didn't want to have to hit. That game really is, the price is where it's at because of the rarity and the theme and all that. So the question kept going in my head, when they remake it, vault it, will I get it? If it's Spike 3, and I don't know. Here's my wish list. If they remade Tron, aside from they would have better decals because some of them were printed. So the cabinet, I should say. So like Lord of the Rings, you get a lot of flipper wear on the first run of Trons. And the back glass translite is either 3D or 2D. Basically, if you get your pick of, you know, it's an upgraded cabinet and translite and all that. Those issues aside, they will have to have the LED lights on there. But is anything going to make the shots feel better? In my opinion, and it very well could be because it's a routed game, but even when I had it at home and I played like two games on it before I shipped that fucker back, I remember the same feeling. Like, the flippers wanted to be more powerful. Even though it's a Stern and it's snappy, it begs to feel like a Black Knight or an Iron Man. Like, fast and go and I don't know. It just, something about it. Something's missing in that. But it makes sense. From reviews I've seen, whether written or video or, you know, straight down the middle, I think maybe they even did one. Actually, I can't fully remember. But hey, they're great videos. Regardless, no one's really given the game a 10 out of 10. If the game was the same price as like a new, or when it becomes a vaulted same price as a premium, will it? I think it'll go the way of Stranger Things premium, where now, like, yeah, it's out there and you can just get them anywhere. And it's like, okay, now that it's available, it's you know, it's scarcity is not really moving the needle on the popularity. I want to love Tron, and I'm not giving up on it. It's just my want for that game, my lust to have Tron Pro, is fading. But that brings me to what I wanted to talk about, which is pinball lessons I've learned from doing this over the past few years. And I'm saying this from a place of things that I didn't think about in the beginning, maybe tips that people would tell me, advice, what came true, what didn't come true, things that you can't really learn until doing it, because I'm not someone that I have to learn the hard way for a lot of things for them to really sink in, but that's normal. You know, growing up, hearing, oh, you know, from a parent, why don't you just learn the easy way and listen to me? Well, sometimes that's just not how shit works. You have to experience some of the things for yourself. So one of the lessons, and I have a few of these written down, a couple of them will come to mind, but in no particular order, just staying on the Tron thing, is that from doing this, buying used games, playing them, having them in the house, having them upstairs, downstairs, moving around, playing them with friends, doing a podcast, you know, the whole hobby experience, going to the conventions, going to tournaments, going, I haven't gone to any tournaments, but for those out there who live the life of pinball enough to listen to a podcast, there always seems to be a game that you're lusting after or that you want. For me, the longest running one has been Tron, but it waxes and wanes and other ones come and go. But the first one ever that I for sure, I had to have it. You know that that feeling of, okay, once I have that game, then everything will be right in the world. You know, I'll feel okay. That anxiety, call whatever you want, goes away and I can, you know, exhale. Like, oh my God, I can stop searching. I can finally be happy. Once I have that game, I will be a happy person. Doesn't happen. The first game that I had to have in the hobby was Lord of the Rings. Yeah, surprise. But the first game I got was a Star Trek, and that got my beak wet. And then Lord of the Rings, well, kind of remains. It was always somewhat of a tough game to get. Again, you can't just go to Toys R Us and get it. You can't go to Toys R Us, period. But that was one once I got, all right, I'll be great. And I got it. And then, you know, you do what you do. Like, even I've had games that when you're getting delivered, I start doing this. But usually after you get the game, all right, you get it home. And now what do you do? Well, look forward to the mod to put it on. You know, you're always anticipating something with the game. You know, that's where most of the dopamine comes from, the anticipation of something versus actually having it. You know, all that, the planning for vacation versus, you know, all that stuff is the way it works. So Lord of the Rings was the first one I lusted after, got it, and like, oh, suddenly, right? Everything's perfect, right? Well, it's better, but now how about what else is out there? And I think at that time it was, what are these Monster Bash remakes that just came out? Maybe I'll get one of those for $5,500 at the time on the used market. And I lusted after that briefly. Things happen, but, you know. So the first lesson... And it remains true 100% of the time, including now. There's a game or two that I want to have. And then once you have it, there's something else. Someone told me early on when I was looking for that specific Lord of the Rings, and I think it was on Wisconsin Pinball Forums. I don't believe it was on Pinside. Or it was the person that sold me Star Trek. And it wasn't like patronizing or condescending, really. I was looking for Lord of the Rings, and like a lot of us do when we're hyper-focused on Facebook, we have the alert set up, we're looking for the game, all this kind of stuff, we know everything about it, we just want to find it, we want to find it. You get kind of like hyped up about it, and, or at least I do. He said, you'll find the game, you always find the game. He didn't necessarily say relax, but he insinuated, you can chill out. He could see the like, I'm out of 10 out of 10, like paying attention, everything, I just got to find it. He's like, yeah, you'll find it. He had been doing this for at least 5 to 10 years. So I'm like, fuck off, dude. You don't get it. Like, I need to find it. I got to find it, and I got to keep looking, or else I'm never going to find it. And then when it pops up, if I'm not ready, I'm not going to get it. I'm never going to get it. And it's over. My life is over. I'm never going to find it. I think he could sense that. And I have gone through that period for, that lasted a while. I would say like 3 or 4 years of where that, once you get locked in on a game of finding one, at least for me, I get hyper-focused on it, and it feels like I'm never going to get it. Like, the Tron felt like that for a while. Lord of the Rings feels like that every time I want one, because then I'm like, oh my God, I got to get it, and I got to jump on it, and whatever it is. You know, you do always find that game. Where there's a will, there's a way, you know? And usually, I've had this happen a few times. Like, you get really close on one, but there's something wrong about it, right? Like, oh, I'm going to get it just to solve that need, the quest, but maybe it's slightly too much wear, or it's slightly too expensive. And those ones, or like they don't respond well on Pinside or whatever, like you just get a vibe, like, I don't want to totally deal with you, but I really want to quench the thirst for this game, and am I going to deal with it? Usually those fall through in some form or fashion. Like, you finally decide, all right, it's not worth it. Or something, it falls through, right? Inevitably. And then in the end, it's like when you're not even thinking about it, then the deal pops up that you, for lack of a better phrase, deserve. Like, oh, that's the right price, it's the right condition, it's close enough. It happens. And it's almost less exciting, to be honest. We're like, oh my God, it's really only an hour away, and it's the right price, and there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, you know, again, that search, the dopamine from the search and the anticipation is suddenly gone, and you can just get the game. Huh. So, I seem to always want to get a certain title, a certain game, have a new experience is really what it is. It's often a game that I haven't played and I really want to experience it from all the hype online, or it's a game I've owned in the past and I either didn't try for the wizard mode or I wasn't in the right mindset for the game, which totally happens. There's games where I've hated them at first impression and then later thought, oh my God, this is my favorite game ever. See Jurassic Park. If you want to hear more about Jurassic Park, especially like a deep dive, check out the patreon.com/pinballparty for all the deep dives. We've done Jurassic Park. We've done Deadpool. We've done Black Knight Sword of Rage. We've done Turtles. Yeah, the hits keep coming. Anyway, patreon.com/pinballparty. Appreciate all the membership and all the patrons out there. It really helps keep this going. And side note, we plan to keep releasing those on Fridays. And then the pinball party proper on Tuesdays per usual. It will probably move to every other week for this the standard pinball party because the new job's starting and I got to get a feel for that. I'm not going to be able to start this new job and just fuck off every day like I used to at my old one. So hopefully these will be weekly, but realistically probably bi-weekly like it's been for the pinball party. But anyway, getting a game in a certain mindset really, you know, excuse your opinion. You know, the Tron, I thought I would love it in Disney World, but somehow, you know, the real colors show. So I'm always lusting after a game. If thanks for asking. What game right now? Probably I'd say Tron is still always kind of there, but to really get it in home that's not busted in good condition and knowing a vault won't come out so the money won't be lost. All those things have to be settled. That's another game where, like, if there's a remake coming, I don't want to sit on something for 10 grand and then suddenly lose 4 grand on it for because Stern decided, fuck it, let's remake it. I can't think of any others though. But maybe that's that, to my point. To the point of you will find the game. I've gotten to that point where I've learned that lesson. I can kind of relax when I want a game. I'll find it. It'll happen. And if not, like, it'll happen. Every single one. I can't name a single game that I've wanted or lusted after or thought I'm going to find this that I haven't found. Whether it's, all right, well, eat the extra $500 and you'll get it. Whether it's delivery or, well, yeah, usually delivery or brand new. Or, fuck, do a podcast to try to offset some of the cost. get sponsored by a distributor such as Flippin' Out Pinball.
When I buy my pinball shit, I buy from Flippin' Out. From Toppers or Blitzerios, I've got it figured out. Flippin' Out, figured out. When I think of pinball, I think Flippin' Out. Flippin' Out, figured out. When I buy, I buy from Flippin' Out.
Which, they're not paying me to say that. It just helps to have a really great relationship with them. And do they give me a little help on it? Of course. What do you think? How do you think sponsorships work? But yeah, Flippin' Out Pinball, Zach, Nicole, Greg, Zach's dad, probably his dog worked there. Great pinball machines, free shipping, wonderful people. Trade your shit in. The games you're lusting after and then suddenly lose your lust, because that's how the brain works, trade them into Flippin' Out Pinball. Get your Flappin' Bird discount by mentioning Pinball Party, and no, you won't get a discount. But you will get a, oh, that's nice to hear. Well, actually, honestly, if you buy from Flippin' Out and you heard it on here, tell Zach or them. They really want to know what's working. You know, the company and marketing, and so am I. It's a win-win. If you think of Pinball Party and you think of Flippin' Out, let me know. Let Zach know. We really appreciate it. But that helps. You know, the Patreon helps fund some of the pinball hobby, paying the extra money to get things shipped. But again, you know, we're all kind of in this together to a certain extent. Maybe not even to a certain extent. It's kind of true. A lot of you out there who email in or I see on the street, and by the street I mean at the arcade or online, that's what I mean. The kind words mean a lot. And the negative ones, hey, at least you're listening, right? But I'm doing this for me because it's fun. I love the hobby. I love talking about pinball. But don't get me wrong. A lot of the positive affirmations don't fucking hurt. And the sponsorships or doing stuff with Kale and Rachel Electric Bat or hanging out with Ian at Nudge or John Local. Zach, shit. The other Zach doing the deep dives, it's fucking great. But from lusting after games, which is always there, and you will find a game, the other point or lesson I learned is you will always get sick of a game. Maybe I should not say you will always. I will always get sick of a game, and most people I talk to get sick of it eventually. Please email in at pinballpartypodcast@gmail.com if you have a game that you've literally never gotten sick of. And I don't mean like force it, like come up with one that you've just, well, I've bolted this for 5 years. No, if there's truly a game that you never get sick of, and tell me why. And I really want to hear about it. I'll read it on here for sure. Because that is the one thing, even my favorite, Lord of the Rings or Jurassic Park, there's reasons I get sick of it. And that's never failed, that I've never gotten sick of a game. And no matter what game I've lusted after the most, it loses its luster. Huh? So if you have one, or a top two, or three, if you have some games that you just legitimately never get sick of, please tell me why and what they are. And I want to more social experiment, whatever, of what are the reasons? Is it you're only playing pinball once a week and you have infinite money, so really it doesn't matter? For me, you know, I don't have infinite money. And having things tied up in, let's say, $10,000 to $40,000 worth of pinball is usually what I keep, like 1 to 3 games. If I'm not enjoying it on a, for me often, like a bi-daily basis, every other day basis, minimum weekly, what the fuck am I doing? That's a lot of money to be tied up in this big, heavy thing that doesn't give you daily joy, let's say. But that's often what I'm searching for in life, is just maximum returns on money or time I put in. So for me, I'm always second-guessing really like everything I have, and especially expensive stuff. How much joy am I getting out of it? I'm reevaluating daily. And, you know, again, maybe that's why I'm doing this podcast. But I, from my experience of the small group of friends that I buy and sell and trade with, aside from the pin side stuff, everyone gets sick of a game. And even if it's your favorite game that you've been looking for a year, you get sick of it. At the same time, you kind of need that game to chase to keep the hobby going, unless you're one of the people emailing in saying, I never get sick of Monster Bash that I've had forever. So you are often lusting for a game. You will always find that game. You will inevitably, you probably get sick of the game. And it's common to have a game or five that you're chasing for to keep it really going. Gun to my head, if I just had infinite money and someone said, what three games would you like to have in your house right now to fill that, again, the three game gap that I usually have. Right now, off the top of my head, I would have Jurassic Park, Black Knight, Sword of Rage, and Star Wars Pro. I didn't even say Tron, actually, which is surprising, but that's what I would have. And I might go get those because those are the ones I want. And then soon after, I will get sick of them and they will be on the Pinside market at a good price. So look for those coming soon from Wild Rover on Pinside. All the little lessons around obtaining and having games and titles and all that. The other lesson I've learned that a lot of us have is that the group of pinball people are just like any other group of people in the end, because it's a big enough sample size. There's good ones. There's bad ones. There's fucking crazy ones. There's assholes. There's sweethearts. There's people who are just trying to, well, I guess maybe speaking from my side, ride your coattails if you're doing creative, impressive things. And there's people that will respond better on Pinside than Facebook or, dare I say, Craigslist. There are different flavors of these people on Facebook groups versus the Reddit groups. If you want to see the pits, get on Reddit. Go on Reddit, say something, get your ass stuffed by a bunch of know-it-alls. When, I don't know, it's this weird thing where Reddit's awesome. I mean, that's the place to just get fucked. Well, figuratively and literally, if you want. Even though I think the epicenter for pinball is Pinside and Facebook, the Reddit, they have the same attitude as, like, they know best. Like, fuck you if you do any, say, advertising or promoting, which I've dabbled in there just to be like, hey, there's a new pinball party. And honestly, like, if you don't listen, pinball party is pretty up your alley. It's pretty irreverent shit. But no, fuck me. Okay, a downvote. Fuck you. Get the fuck off of here. They're on Reddit are usually, I don't know, they're a different breed. They're not nearly as into the hobby. They're just like, well, I'm a Reddit guy and I'm angry. So I'm gonna go here. And I also happen to play pinball, where usually it's at Facebook and Pinside, like, I'm very into pinball, but I also happen to be on the internet. It's a different. So there's, just like anything, there's, it's a group of people. There's good ones and there's bad ones. And that's the same with people who work at these companies. Jersey Jack, Stern, Spooky, American Pinball, Haggis, what is it? Haggis? Some good ones, some dog shit. In the beginning, you know, rose-colored glasses again. Everyone was great. And I've heard a lot of people say that. Oh, the pinball community is so great. And everyone's great. Everyone in the media is great. Everyone. And then you start to see all the sausages made. You meet more people. Okay. Not. You meet even more people like, okay, that, no, fuck you, you know. Oh, okay. And then you meet just pure trash. At the same time, you're meeting amazing people. But yeah, don't fool yourself, please. I've done that. And I've trusted the wrong people, and I've gotten burned by it a couple times. I've learned that unfortunate hard lesson that it's just like anything else. There's good ones and bad ones. I briefly mentioned earlier, and I have this written down, that's why I'm just going to say it quick. When you get a game, this is my experience, lesson I've learned, but I think a lot of you are probably similar. As soon as I get a game, I'm looking for more things to buy for it. Immediately. Day of. Faux show day of. Within minutes of opening the game up or getting it in my house, I'm like, all right, let's get onto those art blades. Let's see if the art blades are better on Retro Refurb or Stern or Pin Graphics. Let's find the right blades. Let's look at the mods. Let's look at Pinball Life. Let's look at Mezzo Mods. You need every fucking game. Someone shoot me. I can't just be happy with a game. The more I do this hobby, it starts to go in that direction. I'm a little less likely to mod a game. But Stern, could you please, and Jersey Jack, but other companies do this more often. Just put art blades in every single game and up the price $100 or whatever. Just put them in. Are you serious? What? Come on. What are we doing? Just put them in. Just make it default. Shaker Motor, I think, is different. Get out of here. I don't want it. It's bad for tendonitis. But the art blades, what are we doing? Just, I mean, except for Jurassic Park, what are you doing there? What are you doing with those? That's some of the worst art blades you could ever make. But just put the fucking art blades in. And the silent fan. And up the price, $150. Thank you. But yeah, I'm immediately looking for what else can I buy for this thing. Just like I did with the GR Corolla. Fuck, man. Wait, remember when you're like, actually, wait, I don't know. Tal's going to say, remember when you're 10 and just something is good enough? Maybe not. I don't know. You know, it's always searching. Always, you know, life. Yeah. And the last lesson I have written down is that I save more than average cardboard. As in, the average person gets rid of most cardboard, maybe a couple of high expensive items they keep for just in case they have to sell it or whatever, like a TV box maybe, I don't know, you know what I mean? But pinball, holy shit, I gotta have this cardboard. I gotta have cardboard for in between the head and the body when I'm wrapping it, natch. I have to have cardboard for when I'm putting it in the vehicle. It depends how I'm gonna put it in the vehicle. If I, personally, with the CX-5 beyond 2019, when they shrunk the fucking trunk by an inch, if I have to put it on its side, I need a full stern box length cardboard, which I have three of behind my recycling bin, as you do in the garage, taking up a whole fucking bunch of space. I need that. I also need cardboard for when I take the pinball machine out of the vehicle and have it touch the ground. So I need three pieces of cardboard just to transport a pinball machine on its side. Now, if I'm transporting it on its back like a normie, maybe I still have three pieces, but I don't need the huge stern box size, but I'll use something smaller and still have to. Regardless, using a full-length sheet of stern box pinball cardboard is the best for launching that fucker in and out of your SUV. In and out. On the ground, in between the head, into the car. It's a lot of cardboard to keep up with. And then you get to the place, someone's house, let's say, and they're like, oh, I didn't bring any cardboard. Can I have some of your cardboard? Like, yeah, sure. Or how about the 50 moving blankets I have in my fucking closet downstairs? Huh? I think I've only bought, let's say, $8 worth of moving blankets, yet I've accrued no less than 15 of these sons of bitches. And I'm like, great, now I have all these moving blankets that I'm going to use all the time for tons of stuff. Uh-uh. I'm giving them away every time someone's either here or I'm going somewhere like, hey, take my moving blankets. And they're like, no, I got too many. Take some of mine. I'm pawning them off on my dad, my dad-in-law, my neighbors. I should just use them for toilet paper, for fuck's sake. Yeah, I don't know. Cut them up into how many pieces would I get? How many asses could I wipe? And it would be, I don't think it would be comfortable. I was about to say, you know, it's cushy. It's a little foamy, but it is not produced to be a non-sandpaper-like feeling on your anus. So, email in at pinballpartypodcast@gmail.com if you've wiped your ass with a moving blanket. Although, just to put a cap on that thought, I would much rather wipe my ass with a moving blanket than stern cardboard. And the last lesson I have learned is that anyone listening to this podcast or playing pinball, well, I should say, anyone who's listening to this podcast is the only one listening to me saying these words, so I don't even have to say these words. I'm just going to go into the point that I don't dare make from an ego standpoint, but just from an observation, that we don't sort of like pinball. We're fucking obsessed with it. And yeah, no more details than that. It's weird because when someone, I don't know if you feel like this, but when someone asks me, let's say, what are you into? Or what's your hobbies? I don't bring up pinball, truly, and I don't tell people I do a pinball podcast. Because if you say it, you know, it's like two things, twofold. One, they're like, oh, really? And then they say something like, I didn't know pinball still existed. Or, I remember when I played Adam's Family as a kid. Or, well, you know, just nothing. So you have to deal with that, which is like, yeah. But two, usually if you're in, again, if you're listening to this podcast, when you have to say it, you're the one listening, you know, it's like, yeah, one, I like pinball, but like, not like I've, like, you don't get it. I need it. I'm into this shit deep, bro. So you can't, hey, what are you into? Oh, pinball. And yeah, like, I'm really fucking obsessed with it. I drive across the country, you know, cardboard lessons, podcast, like, oh, they'd think you're a crazy person. And we are. So when someone asks about hobbies or whatever, so this new job next week, day one, what I'm not doing day one, guns a-blazing. Hey, what's up, fuckers? I do a pinball party podcast. There's a robot on there. He's from a Canadian and Australian. I say fuck. Sometimes people get weird about it. I buy and sell and trade games. People get weird about that. So I did a podcast. I'm sponsored by Flipping Out Pinball. I do a song. It's a jingle. It's pretty catchy. And there's these electric bad arcades. They'd fire me immediately. What are you fucking talking about, lunatic? So for those reasons, I don't talk about pinball with normies, which means I have to rely on y'all's and the social commentary of Pinside and Facebook and the psychopaths on Reddit to keep doing this wonderful, wonderful hobby. All right, I want to go drive this car. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining. And look for a deep dive later this week on patreon.com/pinballparty and a normal pinball party as soon as I can get it, for sure within 2 weeks, if not next week. Talk to you later.